From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
Welcome into the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. Big show today. Don Banks, Sports Illustrated, will join us shortly. We'll have This or That with Brian Sexton. And Jared Odrick, Jaguars defensive lineman, will join us over the phone as well. John, you're fresh off a trip to Tallahassee.
I don't know how fresh I am, but I got back from Tallahassee, and it's a long drive to Tallahassee from Jacksonville, J.P. But, it was a Jameis Winston pro day, and it was fascinating in the sense that these pro days, we went to four of them together last year.
That's right.
And they're becoming such a scene, and especially when the quarterback is involved, it's really escalated from what it was in my dinosaur years, 95 to 99, covering the league. They were very much more set up for scouts at the time, and the media, ESPN, NFL Network didn't exist at the time, but when there was media there, it really worked around it. And now it's become such a big event that it's really, much like the Combine, become a televised event. But Jameis Winston was impressive, and I saw nothing that makes me think he's not going to be the number one pick.
You can get in on the show today at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice. Let's go to the phone line and welcome in our first guest today from Sports Illustrated. Senior writer Don Banks is with us. Don, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Good to be with you today.
How's Brooklyn these days, by the way?
Interesting. I'll leave it at that. We have not found our groove yet quite in Brooklyn, but we're getting there.
Don just recently moved to the Brooklyn area from Philly. Let's start with Winston yesterday. Obviously, you have a new mock draft out today, just a few minutes ago, actually. Winston, I mean, if he wasn't a lock before, he certainly is now, right, Don?
I mean, all indications are yes. Either Tampa Bay is doing the ultimate smoke screening job or they seem to be falling in love with him as much as they profess. They continue to say that they're comfortable with the issues that are off the field for Winston. And obviously the rape allegation is really the huge elephant in the room. And they seem to have a comfort zone with who he is and what he's about. I think to some degree they have to be whistling past the graveyard because you don't really know. He's certainly a ultra confident young man, and that comes out every time he opens his mouth. And that can be great for a quarterback, but it also can lend to some immaturity issues, and you wonder if Tampa Bay has a real grip on where he is at in his development as the consummate professional, which is really what every franchise now needs and demands and hopes from their franchise quarterback. So the marriage seems like it's going to happen. We're a month out. I don't necessarily think putting him in the Tampa market is the best case scenario in terms of that city and its profile, but I would agree that they've seemingly convinced themselves that he is the real deal at quarterback, and that's where the discussion starts with them.
Don, John Osier, and I appreciate you joining us, and good to talk to you again. With Jameis, how concerned are teams, and specifically Tampa, about the fact that he didn't lose in college? He didn't really face adversity in college. And sometimes, as you said, the confidence, does that erode in the NFL? Is that sort of the overriding concern with the off-field stuff, is how he'll handle that when things aren't going well?
It's certainly part of the concern. It's like he has such a supreme level of confidence that you enter the NFL with not a lot of experience at how you handle failure and how you handle adversity. And his mode of handling it in college seemingly has been to almost ignore it. It all came off the field, and it all came under what he could wisely or unwisely declare as a distraction type of failure or problem. And I think the concern is well placed, and I think some in the league feel like he is pretty full of himself, and he is pretty much believing that if he does it, it can't be wrong. And I think teams, they take their chances with a guy like that. I think you're going to have to see if he has the work ethic that he needs. You're going to have to see if he does rebound, this league will humble even the best quarterbacks, and there will be losing streaks, and there will be days when their numbers are atrocious. I guess the best thing you can say for him is within the confines of four quarters, John, he has shown a remarkable resiliency to shake off mistakes and failures and interceptions and mistakes and still lead his team to victory. And that does carry some weight with the NFL because they see the ability to kind of put blinders on and block out a lot of the problems that get a lot of quarterbacks in a mental funk. And he does not seem like he's susceptible to that within the confines of a college football game.
Yeah, he may have a better resume on that front than anybody to come out that I can remember, Don. I mean, so many times quarterbacks are leading in college. But he did have the opportunity to show that, and I think NFL teams will look at that. One more question. Marcus Mariota, it's clear from reading you that you have developed a belief in the last couple of weeks that he's going to be the number two pick. And as another writer, another reporter, I'm always curious how you came to that, because so much of the draft is speculation, and you've got to read tea leaves on that.
Yeah, you do. And let's be honest, nobody really knows anything at this point. We think we do. We're always surprised by the draft. That's why I think it was perfect to come out with my next mock on April Fool's Day, because the whole charade of draft season is really about deception and misdirection and presuming we know what reality is, and it changes pretty quickly. So that's my preface. I would say this. The more I listened to Kent Wisenhunt, the Titans head coach, last week in Phoenix at the annual meeting, the more I got the feeling he wasn't merely smoke screening. My way of thinking is they look at Zach Mettenberger as someone with potential at quarterback, but they realize it's a very light track record that they're going to have to make a decision on going forward. Ken Wisenhunt was a very good coach when he had a quarterback in Arizona. He was considered a very mediocre coach when he couldn't get the quarterback position figured out in Arizona. This is his second job. This is a Titans team that has been down and has really kind of turned into the old Bengals of the NFL. Nothing they do seems to work out. They desperately needed some sort of hope-inspiring season in Nashville this year. It is totally not out of the realm of imagination to think that Ken Wisenhunt could be 2 years and blown out of there if this Titan team puts up another, let's say, 2 to 4 win season. Mm-hmm. I think he's got to look realistically at that and understand that that's a lot to place on Zach Mettenberger with a very little light track record. I think he goes for the quarterback. I don't know if he has 100% confidence that the kid can play in the NFL, but I do think he believes it might buy that franchise some time. It might buy him some time. I just think that if you connect the dots, it's Tennessee, or it's Tennessee working a deal, perhaps, for someone who wants to get up to number two. Maybe for Mariota, who knows? Maybe for Leonard Williams. But I'm beginning to think number two is Mariota's slot.
Don Banks is with us from Sports Illustrated. You mentioned Williams. You have him going to the Jags, I guess, by default at three. He's the next best guy. Is that the route the Jags? You can't not take Williams if he's there. Right?
I think they would do, you know, handstands all the way up. I think they'd be thrilled with that. I think that is the best case scenario for Jacksonville. Obviously, you know, they would have their pick of everybody non-quarterback in this draft. And he is the guy you hear that in 10 years, when we say who was the elite player, he's the name you hear most. And, you know, for Gus Bradley, really trying to build that defense first and foremost, I think he would be a no-brainer as a cornerstone type player. And if they get him, obviously, or if they're in a position to get him, you know, it takes a defense that I think already has made some really nice acquisitions this offseason, and it puts them, I believe, kind of in another tier in terms of the offseason competition that the league kind of, you know, puts together for winners and losers every offseason.
Don, we're going to go to social media now and take a question off Twitter. This is from
my favorite.
I know. You love it, Don.
Yeah.
At Joshua Garaki asking, do you believe that the Jaguars' offseason moves give them a chance at the playoffs? Of course, they've added A lot of guys in free agency. Thomas, the tight end. Odrick at defensive line. Parnell is the right tackle now. Scooter at strong side linebacker. A couple defensive backs, all in free agency. Really the biggest free agency haul that Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley have had here. Is this a playoff caliber team now?
I'm wary because you remember, guys, I last year put the Jags as a wild card team, and I wasn't alone in that.
Right.
But I might have been the captain of that ship, and not a few fans reminded me of that. I don't think this puts them in playoff contention. I'm going to be a little bit more wary. I need to see the quarterback take a big second year step. I need to see how this draft pans out for them and who they get. Did I like Julius Thomas? Yes, I do. Do I think he can put up numbers like he did in Denver? No, I don't. I think you have to project, really, and you have to be very optimistic to think that that may happen. Does he make them better in the red zone? Clearly he does. I like their moves, but I thought they were solid and rather than spectacular. But generally, that's the way you want to go in free agency. If you can make solid and not miss type of moves, you improved your team. But I guess I'm a little wary this year of thinking that they're playoff caliber because they have a pretty good jump to make in that regard.
He's correct to be wary, JP. And I'm wary too, Don, for the exact same reason. So, you know, it's a long way from 3-13 to 9-7, but they certainly improved the roster.
Yes, agreed. And it is also wrong not to be hopeful because while it is a long jump, a lot of teams through the years have made it, and we've seen it plenty. So it's not unfathomable. It's just if you're saying the odds are in favor of it or against it, you'd have to say that they're against it because of. They didn't take enough of a stride last year to put themselves kind of in that on-deck circle, and I think that's what people were expecting, and I was expecting even more.
The latest mock draft is out now on Sports Illustrated, SI.com, at Don Banks on Twitter. Don, we appreciate your time, as always. Thank you.
Great to be with you guys.